The subject is pain and beyond. What's beyond life suffering? It's clear to everybody, whatever their situation, that life is struggle. Don't need to have a health problem to experience that. Life is a struggle. We experience sickness, aging, change, we lose things that we love. The Buddha said that if you gather together the tears of all the people over the generations that have cried because of things that they lost and dear ones that they lost and their own life that they're losing, it would fill all the oceans. And something about this suffering and pain is in a way part of existence. There's a story in Zorba. Zorba, the Greek, the novel about the butterfly. Maybe some of you know it. That there was, I think it was Zorba, or someone told Zorba, they saw a butterfly trying to come out of the golem, is it? Of the and trying to struggle out, and it was so difficult to struggle, and it was such a painful looking experience to struggle. And so this person helped the butterfly to come out of the shell of the golem, and the butterfly just dropped and died because it needed that struggle to actually go to the next stage. And something about painful experiences is meaningful, is in the nature of life. It's not enough to say it's problems, we want to get rid of it. We want to get rid of pain and suffering. But that's what we try and do. It's just a fact that what we do with pain and suffering is we are intensely busy trying to get rid of it, trying to stop it, trying to fight it, trying to suppress it, trying to pretend that it's not there, trying to deny it. This is such hard work. We are so full of that effort, intense effort, to get rid of pain and difficulty and suffering and death. In the Mahabharata, the king, on his way to liberation, he had to cross a lake, and in the middle of the lake was the Naga. The Naga is the serpent, the wisdom snake. And the Naga said, "You can cross this lake if you can answer three riddles, three questions." And one of the questions was, "What's the most amazing thing in the world?" And he gave the correct answer, of course. And the correct answer was, the most amazing thing in the world, that every human being dies and behaves as if he's not going to. We make a very big story of suffering. We make a very big story. It fills our world. We become a victim. The self is busy with it, especially if we have a problem. A real problem. The self is non-stop busy with it. But the self doesn't actually have the problem. It's the body that has the problem. The self doesn't have the problem. The self is busy with the problem, but the problem is the body. Or the problem is, I lost my house, or someone stole my car, or whatever the suffering is. The self doesn't actually have the problem, but is busy with it constantly. And the big issue here is that the self, the me, is desperate to control life. The me in here wants things to stay as they are. The me in here wants things to stay safe, pleasant, easy. The me doesn't like change. It's built like that. The self is, if you like, an organ, ever. Ivar. To resist change, to protect the body, to stop deterioration or threat. That's what the self is. It's an organizing principle inside us for survival. And the last thing the self wants is change. The self, me, a me. It needs to be in control. And here's the problem. And it's an inherent, it's a basic problem. Things aren't controllable by the self, and things do change, and life is totally wild. Anyone who has any kind of growth, gidul, knows that a cancer is made of cells, ta'im, that have just gone crazy. They are not controlled. That's what it is. It's a disease of wild cells, wild tissues that lishtalel, that go crazy. So cancer, in a sense, is an example in our body of the wildness that we can't control. We want to control. But it's in everything. Every minute, every one of the cells in our body is constantly changing. Every one of our thoughts is constantly changing. Our body is every minute a different body. There is no constancy. Everything changes. The mountains outside are changing, only slowly. The body changes quite quickly. The mind changes very fast. Everything is moving like a fast river of change. Nothing stays the same. That's life. And the self is like a dam wanting to stop all this, and it can't. And that's our suffering. There is a basic mismatch, ihatama, mismatch between the self that wants to preserve everything and the life itself that is pure change. That is what life is. That is what the world is. Constant change. Here is a mismatch. We want to resist, to stand against the change. So what do we do? How can we solve this problem? How can we relate to suffering from a wiser place? It said, there's an old Buddhist phrase that said, the wise feel pain once. Those that are not wise feel pain again and again. They feel it in the body. They feel it in the mind. And they're busy sowing seeds so that they will still feel it next minute and next hour and next day and next month. The wise feel the pain. There's a pain in the body, for example, or a pain in the heart. Anger, fear, misery, loss. The wise feel the pain, and that's it. The unwise feel the pain and work with it, let it take us over, busy with it, feeling it in the body, feeling it in the mind, feeling it tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And another image, which is that a painful experience, just an experience, is like an arrow. It hits us, and then it drops. That's the nature of a painful experience in the world of change. And if what we tend to do, because of the self, is pick up the arrow and stab ourselves again and again with the same arrow, chet. In the present moment, in a life of genuine experience, there are painful experiences and there are pleasant experiences. There is pain and there is joy. There is clouds that cover the sun, and the clouds move and the sun shines again. That's the nature, if we look closely at our experience. It is like that. We may make a summary of it, a sikum or parshanut, and say, well, my life is terrible, miserable, I'm constantly suffering. If we look carefully, it's not actually true. There are painful experiences and they pass. And then there are pleasant experiences and they pass. And everything flies away. And then we go to sleep at night and the next day starts again. And maybe we repeat the patterns. But in the essence, in the moment, there is an unexpected experience of the moment. It can be painful, can be pleasant. So part of what we do in practice, in especially Buddhist practice, is instead of this busyness with suffering, instead of running away, denying, trying to pretend it's not there, trying to fight it like hell, we turn towards the painful experiences. We turn towards our experience. And we just say, what is really happening with me right now? What is the real experience of this minute? And that's a lot simpler. Yes, there can be a painful experience of the body, of the heart, of the memory, of loss. Yes, there can be. But if you turn towards it and are open to it and participate in the experience, as a participator, everything looks different. It is a painful experience and it passes, and something else takes its place. And the pain itself is moving, changing, different from one minute to the next. The fear we might have, or the anger we might have, if we look at it carefully, itself is constant changing, is a dynamic. It's made up of many things. It's made up of the heart beating, the belly contracting, it's made up of memory, it's made up of thoughts, it's made up of patterns, tavniyot, in the mind-body. It's made up of many things. We don't look at it because we're so, in a way, afraid to look at it. And so we hold it as a big demon, shed gadol, called my fear, my pain, my suffering. We don't really look at it. If we look at it, we see there is life in that. There is life in that pain. There is life in that suffering. It is dynamic. It is moving. Like this beautiful quote from Rilke, who says that all our demons are princesses in disguise that are just waiting for our love. Just waiting for us to love them. All our demons are really princesses in disguise, dressed up, and they're just waiting for our love. We keep them as demons because we hold the distance, and the self doesn't want to know them. And as soon as we turn towards our difficulty, we see it's very, very alive. It's very full of change and flow and difference, full of messages, full of stories, full of life. And suddenly, it doesn't hurt so much. Doesn't matter what pain, physical pain. Tomorrow we're going to practice working with the painful experience in the way I'm describing right now. Today, we are in a way beginning to touch our inner life, beginning to make contact with our inner world, learning a little bit of friendliness to ourselves, in even the exercises we did, learning to be quiet with ourselves, to watch, to be witness, and to be friendly. Tomorrow we're going to use this in our meeting with painful experience in the morning. Mindfulness. The word you probably know, mindfulness, tsumat lev, attention, being with, sympathetically, kindly, being with our genuine experience is, in one label, what the way that we can get close to, find this relationship with difficult experiences, called mindfulness, sumat lev. It's the meditation, the kind of meditation that we do. There's no surprise that mindfulness is used in pain clinics all over the world for chronic pain when no other thing works. When cortisone doesn't work and surgery doesn't work and nothing works and pills don't work, in the clinics they use mindfulness. Just in a way what we're doing here and what we will do. Because when we get close to our genuine experience, it really isn't so bad. We find the life in it. And we find the life in the fact that there's sun 1 minute and the clouds the next. And we don't notice the sun if we're only busy with the clouds. The self is just busy all the time with clouds, clouds, clouds. There's always sun behind clouds. There's always sun that appears. So, this is one part, though, of the journey. One part is to find, to meet the crying child, to hold the crying child, to meet the painful experiences as they are. Another element is what you might call surrender. And I know immediately when I say the word surrender or let go, immediately our sense is, well, I don't want to surrender. It's like giving up. I want to fight. I want to be well. I need all the fight. And it's true. But just wait a minute. Let's think about this a little bit more carefully. I want to quote, there's a beautiful book called Grace and Grit by Treya Wilbur, the wife of Ken Wilbur, about her journey with cancer. And she said, in addition to learning how to take control and assume responsibility, a person also needs to learn when and how to surrender, to let go. Because this too is a kind of taking charge, being in charge, being master of your situation. Now is the time to let go. Now is the time not to be in the battle all the time, to do what's needed, but to surrender into something a bit bigger. She goes on to say that when she first thought about surrendering, letting go, it was very frightening. So she said, no, I can't surrender. I have to take care of myself. But that produced a lot of worry and a lot of visits to the doctor and a lot of ringing, telephoning medical help, and is this happening? I must control, I must be in charge, I must fight, I must this. And then she went into surrender again. She said, no, it's not good for me. I'm too full of worry, I'm too full of anxiety, I'm too full of stress about my situation. It's just making me go crazy. I have to surrender. But I can't surrender because then it's like defeat. You're in it or you're dying. I can't do that either. And then she realized the answer. She said, there is a balance between surrender or letting go and activity or action. And what I need to do is simply hold both of those more lightly. Hold my life more lightly. The right time to let go, I let go. And the right time to be active, I am active. And I hold both more lightly. Bekalut. Yoter bekalut. Surrender is is an important element, and it's not being passive. Finish first, and then, do you mind? I just finished the talk, and then, yeah. The tree can help us here. Can sometimes help us more than if we didn't have. More than if we were healthy. And I think we heard this today from Esti. I think we heard from Esti the power, what can happen if through a health problem we feel the urgency, hadichifut, the urgency of our life, of meeting our life. We can feel it with surrender. Surrender means let go into the truth of this situation. I will take the situation and I will let go the fighting it. I will be with it. That's what I mean by surrender. Surrender would be kniya or letting go. Letting go into the situation. Letting go our resistance to the situation. So, it's definitely not larimata yadayim. It is more kniya, facing the truth and being with the truth of the situation. The first noble truth of the Buddha is that there is suffering in our meeting with life. And we have to learn from it. We have to use this as our teacher. Suffering is our teacher. There's something very sweet about meeting our vulnerability. Pegiut? Pegiut, shavrirut, to be shavrir. Shavririut, pegiut, our vulnerability is something very sweet. Because we're living in truth on the edge of existing and non-existing. Bekoshi, we are existing. Our being is on the edge of existing and non-existing. We're here on this planet for a short time and then we disappear. Before we were here, we weren't here. And then we were here and then we go. We're living on the knife edge. None of us know if tomorrow we'll exist. We're living on the knife edge. This is truth. So, even though the self wants to hold on and say, I want to be here and I don't want change and I don't want anything to happen to me and I want to stop anything happening and I want to, you know, erect a kind of chomah, a wall, the truth is we're living on a knife edge. And that vulnerability, that pigiut, that vulnerability, what is a blessing? Bracha. What is a bracha? It really is. Because, just like Esti was saying, it allows us to be with the fullness of our experience as if there is no other moment. This is the only moment. And the vulnerability we feel, that is the thing that will help us. If we have a disease, we have a health problem, the meeting with the vulnerability, we have two choices. We can surrender to the truth of our existence on this planet, and then it opens a big world, or we can resist it, keep trying to hold it back, to stop it, to stop this uncomfortable truth. When we let go, it's not uncomfortable anymore. It opens worlds for us. I want to read another quote from Treya Wilbur. She says at this point, when she writes this, and she says, if I do become well for long periods of time, will I lose this deliciously keen knife edge of awareness that I now have? This beautiful one-pointed focus. Inner resistance burst and new creativity is pouring forth under the pressure of this illness. I would hate to lose that. There are moments when I feel practically ecstatic, just sitting on the veranda and looking at the view at the back of the house. and watching the puppies playing. Just like Esty was saying today. I feel so blessed in this moment. Each breath is so incredible, so joyful, so dear. What am I wrong? And this is like a month before she died. What am I missing? What could be wrong? The message here is a combination of surrender, of letting go into, not surrendering kacha, but surrendering into our true experience and the intensivity of being with the present moment. Being intensely in the present moment. The intensity of our life is a teacher for us. It's perhaps the biggest teacher. Pain, one of the biggest teachers. It's no accident that for the Buddha, it was the message that made him go out on the journey of discovery. Seeing the messenger, he calls it the messenger, seeing the messenger of someone sick, poor, or and a dead body, was like such a strong and intense shake-up to his whole world. He was protected in his castle, just like we are with ourself, protected. Never mind, our castle can be our flat, a dira, the Tel Aviv, or a, doesn't matter where we are in our castle, comfortable. And the messenger comes. You are vulnerable. Life is short. We're on a knife edge. The messenger comes. And if we listen to this call, it's a shock. And it can propel us with urgency to the quest, hachipus, to meet the truth in our life, to meet the essence of what's going on. If we listen to the call, the Buddha did it. Story of Iyov, exactly the same. Sickness came and he listened to the message. He didn't stop, we were talking about it in the group today. Iyov didn't stop asking, Lama, 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 Lama. He took nothing for granted. Nothing anybody said was enough for him. His urgency, Dachuf, and you can see it in the book, in the text. Dachuf, tell me, I need to know, this is not right. What you've said is bullshit. These are social truths. I won't accept them. I want the truth. I want to hear the word from Lamala. I want to hear deeper. I want to hear the ultimate truth. What is this suffering about? Why am I suffering? And no second-hand sukbet truth will satisfy. I want the source. I want so his quest, his question, the urgency. And eventually he got the answer. His answer. It takes commitment. It does take some practice. It does take some practice. Here in this weekend together, we began to touch this. We began to touch some of the ways and the tools and in everything we did. In the inquiry together about our experience, in the groups, in the friendliness, because this is not a hard journey. It's a journey of friendliness to ourselves. We touch the friendliness and we touch the awareness in meditation. This is the beginning. If we are ready, we can practice, we can go further, and we can, in this way or another, in the Buddhist path or other paths, we can go on the journey, the same journey as the Buddha and Iyov. It's amazing to hear the stories of many, many great teachers, spiritual teachers that we have in the world with us now or in the past. Nearly everyone began with an experience of suffering and pain. Nearly everybody. Nearly all the great spiritual teachers. And it's a shake-up. It's the call. It's this call. As we, and the final word I want to say, as we listen to the call, as we surrender to our situation, as we become more intimate with our real experience through meditation and other practices, as we listen to the pain in us and the pleasure and the joy, as we reduce the importance of the shedim, of the busyness with our situation, it is, and it becomes, and it can become a spiritual journey. Not just a journey of hitmodudut, of coping with, of changing something, but it's inherently, in its essence, a spiritual journey. Because as we do this, as we meet our truth, we hear a whisper of things. We hear a whisper. We hear deeper truth and deeper truth. The working with the sickness or difficulty that we have is the beginning. It makes us open. If we keep listening to the messages, it might start with messages of pain in the body or the heart. Slowly, slowly, there are other messages that begin to appear. Circling around the problem in our life like a moth around a candle. Slowly, slowly, we find that we're circling around the mystery like a moth around a candle. We may start by circling Mistavev Kmo Ash, Mistavev around the candle, which is the candle is our problem, and we're circling around it, we're busy. We slowly, slowly find that we're circling around the mystery. Well, that's the journey. Let's take a few minutes just quietness to absorb this and feel what we feel.